The St. Louis Cardinals are one of Major League Baseball's marquee teams, and the New York Times' George Vesey knows a bit about Cardinals history. He chronicled decades of same in his 2011 biography, Stan Musial, An American Life. George Vesey joins me now from NPR's New York Bureau. Welcome back to Only a Game.
It's nice to be back here. Thank you.
Everybody knows that the Yankees have the most World Series titles of any Major League Baseball team. They've got 27, but I would guess that if you quizzed a lot of baseball fans, they would not be able to name the team with the second most series wins, and that's the Cardinals with 10. Do you think I'm right about that?
Oh, I'm sure. And that would only confirm what people in St. Louis feel, the flyover insult of people flying over at 36,000 feet and saying, you know, down below is the gateway and not much else. They are convinced that Stan Musial hasn't had a lot of attention over the years, and particularly since retirement, because of the coastal bias. And they're probably right. So I would say that if people said, oh, it must be the Dodgers or the Red Sox or, you know, some other coastal team or even the downtrodden Mets, people would name them first, and the Cardinals, who knows, might be okay, not by real ball fans, of course.
In chronicling the life of Stan Musial and learning about the Cardinals teams of the 40s and 50s and into the 60s, did you find any noteworthy similarities or dissimilarities between the way the team was run then and the way it's run now?
Well, certainly when Musial came along, I mean, there were hardly any rich teams in baseball. It was a mom-and-pop operation, and the Cardinals certainly were. They had a used car car salesman named Sam Braden owned the team, and they were not a wealthy team. And nowadays you have, you know, a lot more money at stake, but they are still a mid-market television team, and Bill DeWitt wisely runs them that way.
What has the presence of Stan Musial himself around the team over the last few years meant to the city?
You know, he's a living icon. I don't know of any, particularly an athlete, who means as much to one city, one athlete to one city, as Musial does to St. Louis. I mean, you know, L.A., New York, Chicago, they've got lots of icons, but St. Louis has the one. As Pujols says, when people called him El Hombre, he says there's only one man in this town, and that's Stan the Man. No, he is beloved. He is just beyond a baseball hero. He seems to be an embodiment of the St. Louis self-image, of what people think about themselves as a decent place where you can go out and be a human being, not have to show off too much, give yourself out a little bit in public and not get burned by it. And that's what Musial is.
The Cardinals slipped into the playoffs on the last day of the regular season, and if they do go on to win the World Series this year, they would become one of just five wild card teams to accomplish that. You're a New Yorker, of course, but is it tempting for you to root for the Cardinals because their story is so compelling?
Well, as you point out, the Cardinals have been down this road before. As far as a wild card goes, well, a wild card only began in 1995, and I was there when the Yankees were striving to get in. To see Don Mattingly get so involved in being and wanting to be in the playoffs and wanting to play a postseason game. So I think the wild card has a lot of legitimacy. It's also only four teams, so you have the fourth best record in any league. I think that's reasonable to say you're getting pretty good teams. It's not like the NBA or the NFL or hockey. But having said that, I mean, the Cardinals are a good story. On the other hand, Texas never won anything until last year. I love seeing new teams in the World Series. As a World Series fan, and I guess the postseason is a concept that I'm a little slow in getting to, but the World Series is a separate entity, and I'm very happy to see new teams, even ones that haven't won in decades.
Well, you make a good point, because although the Cardinals barely slipped into the playoffs, really courtesy of the Braves, they really probably shouldn't be considered an underdog. Texas has never won a World Series.
Well, there is that. I mean, last year it was all so new to Texas, and then they got beaten by a better team, a team that was more hot at the time. But Texas has learned something, and as I've seen written and what I think is true is Texas is sort of an awakening giant of a team because of the money that's going to be available, that it's going to be a self-fulfilling prophecy. As they go into the postseason more times with the players they've assembled, that they will also command more money on the television market. I mean, they are in the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Have you got a prediction for us as far as how this series comes out?
You know, I learned a long time ago that I'm not good at it, and why do it? I mean, I'd like to, in a way, I'd like to think it's Texas's turn. But from what I see from day to day, the things that worked for the Cardinals in the first game did not work the second game. La Russa had been pushing all the buttons. The second game, he brought in Arthur Rhodes, the same situation. And Rhodes, you know, gave up a sacrifice fly to a gutty professional hitter like Hamilton. It's just the way it is. You don't know from game to game. Washington's a good manager. They have very good players. So my prediction is one or the other. I guess Texas has. I mean, I don't think they're going to win three straight at home. I doubt that. But you never know.
New York Times columnist George Vesey is the author of Stan Musial, An American Life, and he joined me from NPR's New York Bureau. George, thanks very much for speaking with me.
My pleasure. Thank you.
There they go, and we want the world to know. Give a cheer, shout it clear, let them know that we're all here. That bunch of Cardinals and Mr. Hornsby.
It's 19 minutes past the hour. Nigel Richards of New Zealand was the winner at the recently completed World Scrabble Championships. He walked away from the table with $20,000, having scored 95 critical points with the word omnified, which my spell check, for one, didn't recognize. But never mind that. The real drama at the tournament, which occurred in Warsaw, saw a player from Thailand accusing his British opponent, Ed Martin, of hiding the letter G somewhere about his person. The Thai gentleman insisted that the Brit should be marched to the men's room and strip-searched. Tournament officials said they thought not, and Mr. Martin won that match by just 1 point. Gee.
I'm in it, I'm in it, I'm in the zone, remembering some words I have never known. Tonight I have a certain way of playing Scrabble. No longer will I say I merely dabble, winning the battle with every square. Hardly notice hotshots over there. My world is not the same. What a glorious game.